Well, hello once again, and welcome to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast right here on the Just Jesus Network. Oh, what a joy and what a privilege it is to be involved along with all these great preachers that we have on this line. And also the music is just superb. It just thrills my heart to hear that old-time gospel music along with the newer stuff as well. You know, it's a good station to hook onto. Yes, sir. Oh, yes. Okay, the message I've got today for you is called, one word, condemnation. Condemnation. From the root word, condemn. Oh, that doesn't sound too good, does it? Well, hang in there. There's always the plus side of every minus. There's a plus side. Somebody once asked me, well, you know, if God is so loving, then why? Why would he even think of sending people to hell just because they never heard the gospel? Wow, that's a good question. Good question. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we find the answer, okay? All right. Heavenly Father, Almighty and Holy God that you are, thank you, Father, for the great salvation you've given to me through the finished work of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. And thank you, Lord, for your holy word that provides the way for sinners like me into your holy presence. Lord, please give me wisdom from above. And as I bring forth today's message, Lord, I ask that you would bless the Just Jesus Network, for they're providing a means that we may reach out to precious souls in thy name, Lord. May these people who hear the message today realize and understand how merciful thou art, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, indeed. Amen. You know, I was born into a family that never really brought Jesus to the forefront. Although, if you were to ask them, they'd readily say they were all Christians. They were all Christians simply because they weren't anything else. At least they didn't think they were. Okay. Well, that's not a pretty picture, really. However, when the name of Jesus the Christ was mentioned from time to time, it was usually in a derogatory term. Not nice. No, I'm afraid not. But this was just like everyday language to a lot of people back in those days. They didn't see anything wrong with it, really. Oh, well, time will tell, won't it? My dad, well, he was a Catholic, but not a practicing Catholic. And my mom, she was a Protestant. But, again, not a practicing Protestant. And never the twain shall meet, mom and dad. But they got along just fine. See, dad was away a lot in the wars. And mom was home alone quite a bit with three big boys to take care of. Oh, we were a handful. And mom, she was about 5 foot nothing. Just a little woman. But she knew how to handle a broomstick, and she knew how to handle a pot. Oh, and those old metal pots give you a clout across the head or the arm or something. You'd know about it. Oh, yes, you would. I miss my mom. I miss my dad, and I miss my whole family. They're all gone. Looks like I'm, what you might say, well, the last of the Mohegans. I'm not a Mohegan, really, but I am of an Indian tradition. I am. I go way back. I forget the name now, but anyway, it's American Indian. Anyway, that's nothing to do with the message today. You know, we three boys, like I said, we're pretty much on our own spiritually speaking. Although Catholicism, well, it was always favored. Always favored in my hometown. More Catholics lived there, I think, than lived anywhere else. Yeah, we were all Catholics, at least by name anyway. And so it was and seems to be with society in general. Each to his own. Each to his own. You know, if our sins, if we committed any at all, oh, usually, well, they were classed as what Catholics call venial sins. Venial sins. Well, you're going to hear a little more about that. Venial sins. Excuse me just a second here now, will you please? Ooh, venial. Wow. Yeah. And that, well, venial sins were easily forgiven, not by way of God, but by way of the traditional Catholic confessional. You know that box that stands on his end is about 6 feet high, looks like a coffin on end, standing there. Oh. Oh, we was forced. When I say forced, I don't mean dragged by the ear, but we were forced by our families to go to this confessional at least once a week or every second week anyway. Confess all our sins to a priest. Well, I have another message on that which I'm not going to get into today, so we'll just let that lie right now. But I'll tell you this here. In the Catholic system, there were two types of main sins. One was a venial sin, and the other was mortal. Mortal. Now, if your sins were mortal, your chances were none to nil of ever getting to heaven. None to nil. Us kids were usually given a whooping. If we committed a mortal sin, then that was supposed to take care of it. Beat the devil out of us, they'd say. I'm going to beat the devil out of you. And we stepped out of line and got too colorful with our verbs and adjectives. Wow. Aside from this, well, I guess you could say we were a part of the establishment. Establishment, yeah. We were never well versed on rights and wrongs and could do's and shouldn't do's. I guess you could say, well, we blended in with the norm. With the norm. Salvation, well, never heard of salvation, really. Nope, when I was a young fellow, never heard it. And when we three boys were forced to frequent the local Catholic church, the Mass was always in Latin, especially on Sunday morning. We didn't know what in the dickens they were talking about. And the priest didn't seem to care. Latin, Latin. Drive you crazy. All you could do was sit there in the pew, pick your nose, scratch your back, bite your nails. You know, Sunday school was usually, well, reruns of the Song of Bernadette. The Song of Bernadette. You ever seen that movie? It was a nice movie, but it was a Catholic movie. You know, I just got to take a moment here, and I want to give thanks to God for not throwing me under the proverbial bus. You know, I mean, he put up with a lot with me. A lot. I mean, I wasn't an easy candidate, being stuck under Catholic protocol and all. The proverbial bus. Well, for not deserting me, I thank him. I thank him, yes. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you. It took a lot of years of sinful living before I finally gave way to what really happened at Calvary. You know, it wasn't soft anymore. It got real hard. And, you know, you had to understand. And they beat it into your head. I don't mean with a stick, but you might as well say so, because when they give you the word, you know, the word was stern, but the word was always mixed in the Catholic faith. Always. I guess we got some learning from it, but in the end, it wouldn't be me getting saved through Catholicism, no. No, it wouldn't. Well, that's another message altogether. Oh, what really happened at Calvary? Well, man, that was good news. Knowing that our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, went to that cross at Calvary for a sinner like me. Me. Little old me. If I'd been the only sinner in the world, he would have done that. Whoa. Oh, he died. He suffered and died for a sinner like me. Wow. How great is that? I had been born on this earth over 40 years. All the time thinking, hey, I'm not such a bad person. Surely if there is a heaven, I mean. Wrong. Wrong. There is none righteous, no, not one. We're all offline according to God until we believe. We repent and we believe in Calvary. You know, as we travel aimlessly through this life without actually acknowledging the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords, simply because we never took the time, I believe that God, the God of all creation in His foreknowledge, allowed us to run life's gambit so that when we did finally submit to the cross, well, we'd have enough spiritual education to reach out to others to help them realize also that tomorrow is really not promised to anyone. Not promised to anyone. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's what the Bible tells us. Only what's done for Christ will last. We must understand that God is not willing that any, you, me, anybody else, should perish. He's not willing. But that all should come to repentance. Come to repentance. That's the place where you have to come. And you know, a lot of people try to knock repentance out of their becoming a Christian. They say, well, you know, not, you don't have to repent. All you got to do is believe. Well, I beg you to differ. I beg you to differ. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Funny thing, though, whenever I'd bring up condemnation, the most popular answer I'd get is, now, are you ready for this? Whenever I bring up condemnation, the most popular answer I'd get, the most popular response the unsaved gave was, well, are you ready? Well, if God loves us, if God really loves us, then surely He wouldn't send us to hell. There. And you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's us. It's us. Are you listening? Are you listening? It's us. We send ourselves to hell. God just shows the way. We send ourselves to hell. Like the scripture tells us, God is not willing that any should perish. No. Now, would God contradict Himself and say, well, except this group over here, or this bunch of Catholics down there, or those bunch of Mennonites over there? Oh, no, He doesn't. He doesn't discriminate. He just says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance is in a lot of, even Christians, some Christians I know say, repentance, I don't like the word repentance. I don't really go with that repentance stuff. Well, don't look at me. Don't blame me. I didn't bring it up. It's in the scriptures. Repent ye and believe in the gospel. It's there. Now, if you want to just get rid of it, well, that's between you and God. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Scripture tells us God is not willing that any should perish. And that's why he made provision for us. By sending his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. To cleanse us from all our iniquities. Our sins. Our dirty, rotten sins, if you will. All of them, not just a few, or come back tomorrow and we'll get rid of a few more. No, all of them. The moment you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, every sin you ever committed, is under the blood of Jesus Christ. And once it's under the blood, there ain't nothing he can do to change that. No. Because the reason it was under the blood is because God looks upon the heart. And he knows if you mean it. Or if you're just trying to pull one over on him. You see, God knows what's going on in the mind of man. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. You see, when you send your only begotten Son to die, to suffer and die on a cross, to be spat upon, to be just wasted away because you didn't believe. You know, you're playing with, and excuse the term, but you're playing the wrong kind of game with the man upstairs. God forgive me that I said it that way, but that's basically what it is. And that's the way a lot of people would only understand it. I've heard a lot of people during my growing up years say, oh, well, I'm okay with the man upstairs. Well, that's disrespectful, really. He's not the man upstairs. He's our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who he is. No other name. He's our blessed Savior. He is the Christ of God. Have you got that? And his purpose of coming to the sin-cursed earth was to rid us of all our iniquities. Well, as a Catholic, you might say, well, can't a priest do that? Can a priest do that with holy water? No! No, he can't. Well, when a baby's baptized, they're supposed to be cleansed. Cleansed of what? Cleansed. They haven't begun to sin yet. Although all are under the blood. If they don't even recognize sin. You know, see, there's a lot of young children, eh? God loves the young children, first of all. You know, and young children don't understand repentance. And God knows the hearts and minds of the little children and how he loves the little children. And this means babies as well. You know, God is not going to just throw them out the door or out with the bath water or whatever. No. God loves them. And if Jesus returned today, all these little children who are below the age of accountability, they'd be taken up, swept up to glory with all of us who are saved. Oh, yes. That's how much God loves the little children. You see, baptism does not wash away our sins. Like Catholicism actually practices. We got to baptize you to get rid of your sins. That's what I was told. Hey, I get baptized as a child, yeah. But when I got saved, I got baptized again. The right way, knowing what I was doing. I didn't need that cleansing power when I was a baby, because God took pity on the little children. Yes, he did. Infant baptism is of no gain whatsoever. And I repeat that. Infant baptism is of no gain whatsoever. How can an infant repent of their sins? They can't. It's a Catholic ritual. That's all it is. A Catholic ritual. What did Paul and Silas relate to the Philippian jailer when he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, he was desperate. He feared for his life. "What must I do to be saved?" They said, very simply, "Are you ready? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Thy house. First time I saw that, I said, "What's a house got to do with anything?" And then the Lord opened my eyes a little bit more. He wasn't talking about the woodwork. He was talking about his family. They too can be saved if they but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's up to you, as the man of the house, as the father, as the dominant parent, to bring forth that message to your children, to your family, that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's tree to take away all the sins of the world. Now, can an infant actually believe in what took place at Calvary? Can they? Of course not. Have you not heard of the age of accountability? Huh? In the book of Matthew, Matthew 18, verses 2 to 6. Okay? If you go there and you read Matthew 18, verses 2 to 6. Hang on just a sec. I'll tell you what. I'm going to go there and I'm going to read it for us. Matthew 18, verses 2 to 6. Please listen carefully. "And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them." "And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Wow. Verse 4. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Verse 5. "And who shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." And verse 6. "But who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me? It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." There you have it. Oh, what precious word. Now, doesn't that tell you something about the little children? Oh, yes, indeed. What does Jesus say? What did Jesus say when he asked his disciples? Oh, how precious are the words of our blessed Savior. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, John uses the innocence of the little children when he says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." Now, these are the words of Christ, eh? "That ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Jesus Christ the righteous. A number of times, little children are used throughout the Scriptures to identify with our relationship with Jesus Christ, with God. In Romans 3:23, we read, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." This death, of course, is spiritual death. And where there is spiritual death, all hope is gone. The Holy Spirit cannot live inside a spiritually dead person. nor can he have any affiliation. Can God shrug off, or can God ignore a person's sin? No. He's too holy. He's too holy. As we come to the close of this message, I want you all to know and feel what I feel in my heart. I know I'm a sinner, but I know my sins are under the blood. Won't you ask yourself, won't you, can a person be saved from sin any other way? Can they? The Bible tells us there is no other way given among men whereby ye must be saved. Then the way is, this is it now, the way of the cross he's talking about. The way of the cross. There's no other way given among men whereby ye must be saved than the way of the cross. Now remember this. Sin will cost you your soul. And unless that sin is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, then your destination is certain to be amid the flames of an eternal hell, where the worm, which is the mind, dieth not. Dieth not. I pray that these words are plain enough that you will understand them. And I pray that you will ponder them in your heart. And I pray that if you haven't already, that you will turn to Christ in faith, believing what happened at Calvary. Will you do that? Will you tell your friends? I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for allowing me to be a part of your Saturday morning lineup. Oh, Just Jesus Network, thank you. I pray that this message has been a blessing to you in some way. And I pray that if we don't meet on this earth, that I'll see you up in glory. Up in glory. Thank you for listening. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I say again, amen.